Hey, I know. I'll use my trusty frying pan as a drying pan.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Out of the Drawing Pan, a Pokemon The Series podcast. This week, we have the episodes The Big Balloon Blow Up and The Screen Actors Guilt. Just a quick reminder, Just a quick reminder, this is an E4 explicit podcast, so listener discretion is advised. And I'm your host, Jacob, and I'm back, can't you tell? And I'm here with my co-host, Austin.
Were you distracted by Alex jazzercising in the corner like I was?
It was a little bit, yeah. I was like, what's going on here?
That was very like... What are you doing over there?
No. I was limbering up because I feel like I'm rooted into my chair and all I do is sit and my bones hurt.
No.
Your bones hurt?
Yes.
Good Lord. What happened was I had, like, my Audacity up to, you know, always make sure it records because we've had so many failures over 126 episodes. And when I hit back to the camera, all I see is, like, spider movement coming out of my peripheral. I was like, what the hell's going on?
Don't forget to stretch. You can get the blood clots and all that.
Yes. I don't know why we're having so much amusement from Alex doing some stretches in the corner, but it was... It's surprising to see. Look, there she goes.
YMCA. Don't you hear, like, all my joints popping? I mean, I'm, like, falling apart.
Nah, you're falling apart.
No, but I will warn the listeners, you may hear some background noise coming from Alex's current setup from the bootleg computer making noises.
The bootleg computer?
Yeah. Is that all that is?
Bootleg. It's not my normal setup, which is just a laptop. This is an actual computer with an actual processor and a fan because it's doing computery things. I don't know.
And it makes loud noise, so it's gonna make editing this really annoying.
Good luck.
Yay
for editing.
Also, I'm here. I don't know if Jacob said that. So.
I thought the intro would be you stretching.
Oh, sorry about that.
It's okay.
I was listening to an old episode recently. For secret purposes.
Secret purposes?
Yeah, secret purposes. And it's really annoying because when I talk, you can hear background noise. But then I silence it when I'm not talking. And so it's like you hear, silence, silence, silence. So that may happen again in this episode. So apologies for that.
Mm-hmm. That sound great. Also.
Love that for you.
Yeah, that sound's getting to me too. That break sound you're making.
What break sound?
Yeah, I don't like that. That's setting off some sensory issues for me.
You know what that just... I had a PTSD moment where I suddenly reminded of that Dane Cook sketch where he's talking about the goddamn parking deck and, like, all the cars, like, screeching through the parking deck all of a sudden. Don't ask me. This was mid-2000s and I thought it was funny.
Yeah. Okay.
His brother stole all his money. Alex, besides stretching... Alex, what have you done this week besides stretching?
Actually, I feel like I accomplished something monumental, and Austin hopefully is proud of me. I finally finished after, like, a year, I think it has actually been a year. So sad. I don't know what happened. I think I went through, like, a time warp or something. But I finished editing our first ever bonus episode that we recorded that time we were out of the country, Jacob.
Wow.
God, that was a long time ago.
I know. And I want to apologize just, like, on the official, like, main podcast record. I apologize for how insufferable that episode is going to be. Me, not Austin.
So you can spend $10 a month to access that insufferable Alex episode.
Yeah.
Because insufferable episodes that you get for free just aren't good enough. You got to pay money for some more.
Yeah, if you want to, like, go and listen and, like, tear me down and tell me how horrible you think that episode is, please do. The only way you can know is if you subscribe to our Patreon, so go and do that.
Welcome to the Hate Yourself cast, where...
Yeah, no one likes a martyr, Alex.
We talk about Skyrim, so if you're a big Skyrim fan, then that might be really interesting for you, so go check that out.
Well, now that you finish editing one episode, we need to start recording those more regularly for our patrons.
We have a Patreon, you get one bonus episode per year. So go for it. That's good for you.
Totally worth that $10.
Oh, right.
We are the worst self-promoting people in the world.
Well, we're humbled. Austin, what have you done this week?
Nothing. I've done nothing.
Okay. That's good.
No, wait. I said I'm not allowed to say nothing anymore. I'm still playing Captain Code Treasure Tracker. Captain Yay! Toad Treasure Tracker.
Captain Toad.
And I've gotten to that point in every Mario game where there's an impossible level at the end, and I can't beat it, and I hate myself.
Ooh.
Didn't we just talk about this with...
Every Mario game is like this.
Wonder.
Yeah, we had that conversation about how, like, it doesn't scale very well with the difficulty towards the end.
They just like to troll you.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. That's what it is. It's a big troll. Troll farm.
That's my sad, pathetic life. Jacob, how's your life?
You know, it's going good. Missed the last podcast, obviously, for baby prep.
Yes. Did you save a baby?
I learned CPR. That's good. For everybody.
Good skill to know.
Yeah, it's a good skill to know.
So they taught you, like, infant CPR, and then they also taught you, like, adult CPR?
It was, like, adult to teenager, which I assume kind of...
Oh.
Doesn't that, like,
yeah.
apply to everybody, like, over the age of, like, 6 months?
That's what I feel. Like, it was, like, infant to teen.
Well, how is teen CPR different from adult CPR?
Apparently, how far you push down on the chest is what I think. Like, adults with fully developed diaphragms, I think it's like 2 inches. And for everyone else, it's like 1.5.
I don't think I could ever give CPR because I'd be like breaking ribs and I'd be like, ew, gross. And I'd have to stop.
That's how you know you're doing it right, though, right? If you break somebody's ribs. Yeah, that's
icky. I only had to do it once.
Oh.
Yeah.
When you were a lifeguard?
Yeah.
Did you break their ribs?
No, they just threw up on me.
Oh.
That was something else. Literal vomit. It was green.
Oh, ooh, lovely.
Vomit, yeah, because they were drunk.
But you saved somebody's life. Good for you. Jacob's a hero.
After all this guy's friends left him to die on the beach.
Shit.
Yeah. Whoa.
He was underage. It was July 4th, and he was hammered drunk.
Oh.
Like, all his friends just left him there.
Get new friends.
Yeah.
Get new friends.
I felt bad for
Shame
him.
Shame on you people. Shame on you people for leaving your friend like that.
That's the story awful. I tell where the guy was, like, God was like, you were going to live today. Because I started doing CPR, and then all of a sudden, these women walk up, and they're like, we got this. We're ICU nurses. And so they started, doing all this stuff. And then when they came up, somebody else came up, and they were like, it's okay. I'm also a doctor. And started doing more stuff to him.
Like, was this like Baywatch in real life?
It was
like,
so crazy.
Did they run in slow motion? That was awesome.
It's so stupid that, like, I mean, it's not stupid, but you know what I mean? It's so, like, a crazy story that it sounds fake telling it, but I swear to God, that's what happened.
I'm imagining, like, Pamela Anderson running up and being like, I'm a doctor, don't worry.
Right. David Hasselhoff was there. It's okay, I've got a buoy. But it was wild. I was like, oh my God, dude, if there was ever a moment where I was like, this guy's going to be okay. You know, what are the chances? And near empty beach, and these women are like, we're ICU nurses at that.
Yeah, of all the people that could have been there.
Yeah.
This was after he threw up on you.
Yeah, yeah. This is after I made him throw up, and he was like, I got him walking, and then he collapsed again. So I was like, oh my God. Yeah. What else have I done this week? I brought a drone this week. That's really fun.
Are you serious?
Yeah, I got a drone. I was flying that thing around the yard.
How did your neighbors feel about this?
I went to a yard sale, and it was just sitting there, and they were like, they offered me basically nothing for it. It's brand new in the box. And I was like, yeah, I'll take this. You know, I'll take this for a spin. I've never flown a drone before.
Have you spied on your neighbors through the windows yet? Well, aren't drones loud? Wouldn't you be able to hear it?
No, this one's got quiet mode.
Quiet mode, so you can, like, clandestinely spy on your neighbors?
Yes. And, I mean, this is state-of-the-art.
Oh, my
like,
God.
It's got heat sensors, too, on it, so, like, I can see movement in a house.
Okay.
So I can see, like,
Jacob, whoa. Jacob is pulling our leg. This can't be right.
So I can see where they're at, so I know where to go.
I don't believe that for a second.
Okay, if this is even partly true, Jacob, I feel like there's a reason your neighbors or the yard sale people were trying to get rid of it. I feel like there's been a crime committed, and they're like, oh, we gotta get rid of this shit. Like,
yeah, it was really weird. I took the SD card out and put it in my computer, and I'm not gonna say what's on there, but yeah, there's a reason. No, it doesn't do any of that. I just fly around the yard. I don't record anything. I had real fun with it yesterday because it was really windy, so I felt like an airplane pilot trying to fight the wind to land.
Jacob is such a boy. Oh my gosh.
I was having fun with that. Channeling my inner childhood. And then I took it a step further and I had a nostalgia kick and I'm starting to play Fire Red again.
Oh wow.
Pokemon. So.
Kanto.
Wow, we rarely ever talk about Pokemon on this podcast.
Yeah,
that's funny.
Wow, I know. Yeah. What a blast from the past.
My team consists of Charmander, and Pidgey so far.
Charmander.
Charmander and Pidgey. Oh my God, what a classic start.
Oh yeah. I gotta get a ground type next. Dude, the first two gyms are kind of hard.
If you have Charmander, yeah.
Yeah, because I got Misty next. Brock, luckily, I had Embered his Pokemon and then got burned.
Wait,
no, Jacob, fuck you, Onix.
Yeah.
Doesn't, I may be wrong in this, but I thought, at least in Fire Red anyway, Charmander can learn Metal Claw.
Yes, I have Metal Claw. What about Misty? What should I do there? Or am I just out of luck?
You need a Pokemon. Bellsprout or Oddish or something, I don't know.
Maybe I need to go back to the forest and see if I can get a Pikachu.
Ooh, that's always a fun little mission.
Yeah. Don't they have those there? Because I remember getting one as a kid in Red.
You're going to inspire me to play a Pokemon game, Jacob.
Dude, the classic ones are the best games. I will fight anyone on that those classic games are the best.
I'm afraid if I go back, it's going to be tedious.
How so?
HMs and like...
Oh, all the quality of life stuff that we have now. That
not being able to access the PC from anywhere.
Yeah, the quality of life stuff definitely has improved. But there's something pure about these. You're gonna feel it. From the first time you push the A button, you're going to feel like your hand's going to lighten gold from the purity of it.
I wish we had known that you were doing that, Jacob. We could have done like a Let's Play or something.
That reminds me, by the way, we got a message on Patreon.
Ooh.
Good reminder,
Alex. A message?
Yeah, let's find it.
A message in a bottle? Oh, wow.
Message in a Patreon. If I could ever load it. Talk amongst yourselves.
That was my week. That was my week.
I have the time to find a message.
That's cool, Jacob. Wow. Nostalgia.
Yep.
Here's a message from our friend. He goes by many names, but our friend Carl.
Carl.
He says, I have just reached this is from a little while ago, so sorry it took me a month to get to this. Whoops. I have just reached the episode where you ask if we would rather you play a base Pokemon game or a ROM hack. I would definitely enjoy either choice as long as it's a Nuzlocke challenge playthrough. I like it when there are some stakes in the game. Also, your scientific breakdown of what the frick a Dunsparce even is was hilarious. Thanks again for your excellent podcast. It brings me many laughs on my journey.
Aww.
Thank you, Carl.
That's great, Carl.
Such a nice message. Oh, we love to hear that. Brightens our day up.
Y'all, we need to do a goddamn Let's Play.
Yeah.
Let's just do it. I don't know what the holdup is. Mm-hmm. Just do it.
I'm not doing a Nuzlocke for my game, but...
But that's for your own personal pleasure.
Yes, I will do that for the listeners.
Public consumption.
I need people to help me with that. I need an audience. I'm not doing that for self-pleasure.
Here's what I think we should do. We should do a Nuzlocke of a real game.
Yes.
Red or Blue or Gold and Silver or something like that. Or one of the later ones. And I think we should also do a ROM hack, but probably not do a Nuzlocke on that.
No, that's probably going to be too hard. I know I mentioned a couple, like we did have, there is the Orange Islands ROM hack one, and there's also Pokemon.
Oh, I want to do that so bad. Yeah.
Yeah, there's Snakewood. There's a couple others. There's so many. I know, we got to make it happen. We got to do some Twitch something or other.
We have that Twitch and we never use it. We just need to do it.
Do it. Yes. Jacob, I just want you to know that when Austin and I were recording last week, I was completely lost. I was adrift. I had no idea what I was doing when I did the intro and outro. I think I even forgot to like mention our email. Like it was out of control. It was chaos. I'm like, I need Jacob back. Can't do this.
It's okay.
So. Speaking of Jacob, did you watch those episodes?
The ones before these?
The Bayleaf one.
Yeah, I saw the Bayleaf one. I didn't see the one after that.
The Natu one. The Natu one was the episode where I said on the pod, first time I had to stop an episode and turn off the TV and walk away.
That bad.
Oh my gosh.
They literally get to a town. There's an annual festival happening. They say, oh, look, it's some kind of festival. And someone in the crowd says, it's an annual festival. That happens one day a year. And Ash says, wow, we have such good timing to be here. The one day of a year, there's a festival. And I was like, I'm done. I'm just done.
They're really camping on it. Yeah. Yeah. I like the Bayleaf one, though. That was pretty... That was good, you know.
It was better.
Yeah.
I liked one of these episodes today.
Oh, which one did you like?
The first one.
Really? Oh, I was going to guess the second one.
Okay.
Oh, that was... It was okay.
We don't have thoughts about Brad? Okay, we'll talk about it.
Oh, I have thoughts about Brad. Don't worry. I have thoughts about Brad. I have a lot of thoughts about Brad, actually.
The cutest guy in school.
Thank you.
right, enough of the hot air we're blowing around here with this pre-chat. Let's go ahead and get into the episode. This week, get it, because the balloon is powered by hot air. It's the Big Balloon Blow-Ups, the first episode, followed by Screen Actors Guilt. Let's see what the randomizer has said here. Ooh, interesting. I don't know if, Austin, this is what you wanted, but I'm doing the 30-second summary challenge. You're doing the Big Balloon Blow-Up. And then, Alex, you've got Screen Actors Guilt.
I wanted Screen Actors Guilt.
Oh, you did? Oh. You were just talking about how this one was better, the first one.
No, this one's better, but I had more to say about the Smoochum episode.
The Smoochum.
Well, we welcome your thoughts anyway, so.
Didn't we already read a book about this episode, The Big Balloon?
Well, there's the big question is...
Somewhat?
No. But we did read a book. You should have that book right there next to you, Jacob, if I recall correctly.
Race to Danger?
Yep, that's the one.
That's the one I got.
He's got it right there.
Yep. Actually, you know what's actually stupid? Is when I was playing Fire Red, this book was laying next to me, and I was like, I'm going to name my character Danger. My character's Danger in Fire Red.
Danger is my first name.
So they're always like, you know, Danger, it's crazy to see you here. And I'm like, that's right, Danger's here.
That's amazing. I can't believe that inspired you. That's perfect.
All I know is that Race to Danger came out in the U.S. before this episode aired in Japan. Coincidence? You tell me. I don't know.
They got the inside scoop of what was going to happen. That's great.
I think just somebody has like a weird obsession with hot air balloons for whatever reason.
And I honestly just think it's Team Rocket has a hot air balloon that's very prominently featured. And so it makes sense that people would be like, let's do a hot air balloon thing. That makes sense.
Sure. Even though I feel like it's a very dangerous and inefficient way to travel anywhere. But again, this is Team Rocket we're talking about.
This guy, I'll save for the episode after the, about how this main character, side character of this episode is also running a very good scheme. It's all a big scheme that's going on here.
We love a scheme. We love a conspiracy theory. Yeah. We love writing our own fan fiction live.
This one's for sure, though. This is definitely what's happening. All right. I'm ready whenever.
You're ready.
Okay.
3, 2, 1, go.
All right. So aliens exist in the Pokemon world, confirmed. We come across and there's a crop circle in the middle of the field. Just kidding. It's actually a target that this kid named Skyler, comes across and he's throwing a toy at it. It turns out that it's actually a race to hit a target. And so I forgot where I'm going now. Ash is like intrigued by this, and they join this big race that he makes. And Team Rocket's there to try to foil the race, and it rounds up Team Rocket gets kicked out. Ash and this boy Skyler race to hit the target. Who wins the automatic balloon inflating module that they're racing for?
Time.
Austin will tell us.
Still time. Okay.
Now to Austin for more.
If you want to be a patron, you also can be part of a Pokemon episode that aired 20 years ago.
Holy crap! Don't remind me. It's probably more than 20 years, isn't it?
Yeah, probably.
God, we're old.
So today, in the 20 years ago in the past, the...
Wait, I'm sorry, what'd you say today, 20 years ago in the past?
Yeah.
All right.
The twerps have come across X-Men headquarters.
I knew you were going to make a joke about that.
They find the X-Men logo in the middle of a field, and they're like, what is this doing here? Then suddenly the ground opens up and the Blackbird comes out and flies away to fight Magneto. Just kidding. That doesn't happen.
But what if it did?
I mean, I would be very surprised. I think I'd be like, am I dreaming right now?
Crossover of the century.
It's actually a X-Men themed target zone for Skyler, who comes in on his Fero hot air balloon, which is being towed by a Fero. He throws a weird, I thought it was like a radish or
that's
a turnip
what I
or
thought.
Something.
Yeah.
A weird looking thingy, like a beanbag, onto the X-Men logo. And the twerps are like, oh my god, you could have killed us. So Skyler comes down to apologize.
Sorry. And,
yes, Alex?
Okay, so wait, was it proved true or false that you could kill somebody if you threw a penny off of like the Empire State Building?
I don't know. Let's go to the Empire State Building and find out.
Okay, is this true? I need to go to Snopes. Hold on. Because maybe it could have killed them if you throw something from high enough, you know?
Okay, it's not real. It would fall to the ground, but it wouldn't cause any catastrophic damage.
Really?
Terminal velocity of 50 miles per hour.
Oh, it says it might hurt, but it's not capable of causing a fatal injury. Ah, okay.
So we're not going to go to the Empire State Building? Oh, well.
But this thing is like a big old radish ball, and it could have like rocks in there, so we don't know.
It's got to have some weight, because the wind would throw it off target.
That's true.
It cracks Ash's skull, and then lands in the Target.
And he wakes up, and it's another festival.
It's time for the annual balloon festival, actually.
It was all a dream.
So Skylar takes us home, because, you know, that's the polite thing to do. And he takes us to, like, his, like, hangar, where we meet his dad, who is a racketeer who makes Pokemon balloons. Pokemon-themed hot air balloons. And also, Jake, I see your hand raised. I'm going to say it. This is all a scam.
Yep, okay. Making sure we're all on the same page here.
Yep, yep. Jacob, why don't you take over?
Okay, so I'm saying this is a scam because the race is manufactured so he can just sell more balloons.
I know.
Yeah, okay. I'm just making sure that we're all clear on this. This is all a lie. Like, this guy is somehow... He must have great marketing skills, better than us, because he just sells these balloons to people for no reason, and they pop instantly. They're garbage. I mean, Team Rocket, like a bobby pin pops these things, so yet they continuously keep buying more and more. You know how many people's died from their cheap fabric. But yeah, it's he just made up this race to sell more balloons, and it's really smart, but they're also very cheap.
Hey, you know what? Nobody's forcing people to buy the balloons. It's up to the people to decide how they want to spend their money. So if they want to buy into this obvious scam, then who is really to blame here?
I think the fact he makes Pokemon-themed hot air balloons at the site of the Pokemon-themed hot air balloon race, but they never say that he's associated with the race. They make it seem like a big old coincidence.
Yeah.
So I'm thinking he's in on the take.
So wait, and who also, came first?
He competes in the race, so...
Who came first? Was he living there being a humble balloon maker guy? And then everybody's like, you know what? That's a really damn good idea. Let's just make a competition. Or did he move there knowing full well that they have a competition? And he's like, you know what? I'm going to cash in on this and become the only game in town.
Realistically, I think it's that latter scenario. I think for fan fiction purposes, he's the person who came up with the race.
Okay.
There's always a grand prize that they always win. You know, so they just dangle this carrot out there that there's some great prize, but they always win it.
But did they ever say that they won before?
Skylar, it says defending champ Skylar.
Oh, does it really?
Sure.
Sure.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
Let's just lie. That's fine.
Can we just talk about the prize really quick? Because I feel like, I mean, I guess it makes sense that this would only interest people who were into, like, ballooning. So the prize is, like, a super high-tech balloon motor, whatever that means. But, like, I feel like you couldn't just be a casual participant, and, like, you'd have to be a professional ballooner to even be interested in a prize like that.
Right. You'd have to own a balloon.
Yeah.
You're killing me, Alex. That sounds like a drug. You guys want to go ballooning? Are you a ballooner? You cool? You a ballooner?
What
honestly,
do they call...
that sounds nice. Let's do that. Let's
what
go
do
balloon-y.
They call balloon people? I mean, is there like a name for somebody who operates a hot air balloon? A balloonist, right?
You know what this reminded me of? That little boy who allegedly got trapped in the hot air balloon.
Ooh, that was
yeah.
It was like on the run. Yeah. That was Skylar.
That was like a huge story, wasn't it? Like back in the...
Yes. It was like a big... silly thing that happened because you were like, there's a little boy trapped in a balloon.
Hold on,
but he wasn't.
Balloon boy hoax. I gotta just give context for anybody who doesn't know about this. My god, this happened way later than I thought. This was 2009.
Yeah, that sounds right.
Okay, so this for context, real quick, just not to derail. Okay, 2009, a homemade helium gas filled balloon resembling a flying saucer. This happened in Colorado. Was released by Richard and Mayumi Heen. They claim their 6-year-old son Falcon was trapped inside of it.
Falcon.
And Falcon was nicknamed Balloon Boy. The National Guard and police helicopters pursued the balloon. It flew for more than an hour and landed 12 miles northeast of the Denver International Airport. Falcon was not found inside, but it was reported that an object had begun falling from the balloon, so they were searching. And then it later turns out that the boy was hiding in the attic of his home the whole time.
Oh,
so
my God.
They got sentenced to, like, a fine and jail and all this stuff. And
they got sentenced to jail?
Yeah.
Yeah, 90 days in jail.
Because it's something about crime fraud. I mean, there was a lot of money spent on time and money spent on trying to figure out how to get this boy down safely.
I'm just, like, what was the thought process behind this? Like, what were they trying to gain? Like, oh, we're going to pretend that our son's in a balloon? Like, what the heck?
I remember distinctly at some point the boy was asked a question on, like, TV from an interviewer, and he said something like, well, I was hiding in the attic for the show. And it was like, show? What show?
Hmm.
What show?
So the idea, these people had already been on, like, Wife Swap or some shit.
Oh, yes. Yeah,
so the theory was they were trying to get fame.
Of course they were.
Oh, okay. So, gotcha. They just wanted their 15 minutes.
What was the end game there? Were they going to, like, wait for it to lower and then throw the child in there and act like he was in there the whole time? Like, no one would notice?
I can't believe that was 2009. I was thinking that was, like, 2001 or something.
Oh, no. No, no, no.
Okay.
God, the 2000s were a horrible decade. But back in the 2000s, we got the hot air balloon race the twerps are involved in. Because Skylar's dad, Falcon, has decided to... This is what happened. This is what became of him.
Generational trauma. Got it.
He says, I got something that might interest you. It's a Pikachu hot air balloon. And the twerps are like, that does interest us, actually. And Falcon says, why don't you join the hot air balloon race? And they said, well, we have nothing else going on. Let's do it. We got to fill an episode with a time. We got to do it. So we're practicing hot air ballooning. Noctowl takes charge of the Pikachu balloon. Even after Brock says, I bet Crobat would be better at it than Noctowl. Ash says, fuck you, Timothy. Fuck you, Brock. And he has Noctowl take the lead. And Noctowl immediately almost kills them by flying off at a million miles per hour, and the twerps almost all fall out of the balloon basket, which I kind of wish had happened, but oh well.
Yep. That'd have been a better story.
That was so rude of Ash. Like, they didn't even explain why, because Brock, like, there was a couple times where he's like, and what about Crobat? And Ash is like,
oh, Alex knocked her mic over. I've done that so many times where I'm just like, I've done that hand swipe thing and my mic just flings off.
Ignore that.
That's what happens when you gesticulate wildly.
Yes.
All right. Team Rocket, of course, are spying on this and they want to get the hot air balloon mega engine thingy, whatever that is. So Jesse and James are like, oh, let's just steal it in the night. And Meow says, no, we have to win it properly. We're going to enter the competition and win fair and square. And Jesse and James just think that's the dumbest shit ever. So they pretend to support him, and then in the night, they pop holes in all the balloons and stuff.
Yeah.
They're assholes.
Yeah, that was,
How about you support your friend? How about that?
It's also attempted murder, but...
We'll
gloss over that. Because it's not like they slowly, like, ascend, and then, like, oh, there's a little hole, and start slowly descending. It's like the heat's up and they just start spinning in circles like a toilet bowl spinning water. It's like, you know what I mean? And they're getting flopped around.
Do we think Meowth would have actually had a real chance? Like, he seemed to be really passionate about ballooning in general, which I guess I didn't realize that he was so interested in this sport. But, like, I really wish we could have seen him actually perform.
Mm-hmm.
I think this would have been a better episode if Meowth had, like, if he got Jesse and James in line and he actually won the competition.
Yeah, that'd have been better.
I mean, like, I know, like, in Pokemon, they would never have Team Rocket win anything. But I'm like, if this competition was made for anybody, it's made for them. Like, they're the only ones who consistently use a hot air balloon in this entire, like, world.
Yeah.
So I feel like they deserve it more than anybody else.
You're 100% right about that.
Like, the people in the competition, I'm assuming, are just, like, hobbyists. Except for Skylar, who's like, I want to be a professional hot air balloon man. And I'm like, yeah, okay, that's lucrative, I'm sure.
Mm-hmm.
Do we think these people are renting these balloons?
No, they own them.
Okay.
Yeah, because he makes them custom.
Yeah, they're custom balloons.
I don't know. I feel bad. I really wish that Meowth could have had his time to, like, really do it right.
But... yeah.
He deserved it. Meowth deserves a win.
It's still that stupid trope, though, that cats love being high off the ground. So that's a little weird, but whatever.
Well, I never realized Meowth was the one who was in charge of the balloon. I kind of thought they just magically floated around, to be honest.
No.
Same. I
mean, cats always land on their feet.
Haha. Well, it kind of makes sense because Meowth pilots the mechas from Popular Pokemon Magazine.
Yeah, so he's also in charge of
the balloon.
He's the mastermind behind, like, the technology stuff, so...
Do they have a pooler, Team Rocket? You know, like, you have Pharaoh's the pooler.
Mm-mm, they don't. They sign up at the sign-up table, and Jesse and James are signing up. And I have the whole quote, if anyone wants to use it.
Nah, go for it.
Meowth enters as well, and the guy is like, you don't need to write down the name of the Pokemon that's assisting you. And Meowth jumps up on the table and is like, excuse you, I'm the one who's in charge. These two are just following my orders. I'm Meowth, the great hot air balloons cat. The guy's like, oh, okay. So I think Meowth counts as their puller.
Oh, okay. Well, that makes sense, I guess.
The twerps learn that Team Rocket has entered, And Ash is all indignant. And he says, I don't care who wins. I just don't want Team Rocket to win.
He's such a little shit.
I know.
He's like, at this point in the episode, like, he has no proof that, like, Team Rocket has sabotaged anything. Like, even Meowth doesn't know that. Like, he's just being a little asshole for the sake of that. He's like, well, I can't allow Team Rocket to, like, exist. Screw them. I'm going to make their lives hell.
The hot air balloon race gets to a start, and phase one of Jesse and James's secret plot takes effect. Like, 2/3 of the balloon immediately crash out of the sky. Which was very dangerous, it felt like. That was like, oh my god, people are going to die from this.
There's a bunch of parts of this episode where it's like, that person may not have survived this. We'll just get over it and keep moving forward.
So Jesse and James have the blood of these people on their hands.
They should have had, like, a newscast at the end. Oh, at the annual balloon race, we only had 5 death incidents this year. It's a record low. Safety is our top priority here. If we get single-digit death count, we're all right.
When I was watching this episode, Josh was watching it with me, and he came in with the part with the balloons, like, crashing wildly out of the sky, and he's like, those people died. I'm like, yeah, probably. And this is coming from somebody who does not watch Pokemon. He's not a fan of Pokemon. He just casually made the observation, apropos of nothing. He's like, those people fucking died. I was like, yeah.
Well, there's something visceral about, like, they're not tied in. They're not, like, secure.
No, they're, like, flinging wildly.
You're standing in
around
a hot air balloon basket.
Yeah.
And if that crashes wildly out of the sky, you're fucking dead.
Mm-hmm. There's no seatbelts.
With a whole field of dead bodies around. We continue, and then
fire. It's fire burning.
We apparently leave where the cameras are able to view. So Jesse and James enact part 2 of their plan, which is Wheezing Smog Attack, which causes several balloons to now descend out of the sky and into the tree line, never to be seen ever again, because they're dead. Meowth is like, what are you doing? And Jesse and James are like, shut up, Meowth. And they have Arbok use Poison Sting on the other balloons, which I know that we are big fans of Arbok's use in hot air balloon races.
Oh, because in the book, he flies with his little neck flaps.
Except we made that up, but yes.
No, in the book, in Race to Danger, doesn't it say that? There's a passage where it says, and Arbok flies up to the balloon or whatever, and then we talked about how the only way that could be is if he flapped his neck.
Well, I was paying close attention to Arbok's status. And Arbok, Jesse lets out Arbok of the Pokeball, and it's floating around in, like, that, like, nether space of speed lines and colorful backgrounds.
Yes.
And attacks the other balloons. And then we cut back to the balloon basket. Arbok is not in the balloon basket.
He's flying around.
He's just flying.
He's falling with style or something.
He's existing outside of time and space.
I was hoping he would be the pool Pokemon. That's what, when I asked that, I was like, or Ghastly. Give us some, like,
Ghastly.
Or not Ghastly, sorry. Ghastly. Coughing.
Wheezing?
Ghastly's here.
Let's just go through all the Pokemon. We'll land on it eventually.
Coughing's here. I was thinking he'd be a great pool Pokemon.
Wheezing would be the only logical one.
Oh, Wheezing. Is that his name? Is that what we're on?
Yeah,
now?
Wheezing.
We're not on Coughing yet?
We were long since last Coughing.
I like Coughing better than Wheezing.
So do I.
Don't you think, okay, you know how, like, flying squirrels have, like, the little skin flaps and they sort of just, like, glide around and stuff? Don't you think, in theory, Arbok can kind of do the same thing with its neck?
I think we live in a better world where snakes don't fly. I'm very glad that doesn't happen.
Yeah, no, they can already swim, and that's enough.
They can climb trees.
This is just the next logical phase of evolution, then. If they can swim and crawl and climb, they can fly.
I could put one on my drone. They can fly.
Yeah.
A snake scared the shit out of me. The scary snake is gone now. So Jesse and James tie Meowth down because they're tired of his bullshit getting in the way of their evil plans of winning the hot air balloon race, even though Meowth intends to win the hot air balloon race. And they fly into a storm, which I'm like 99% sure happened in Race to Danger.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, it did.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure.
Of course. Mm-hmm. The Twerps are dealing with some hot air balloon issues because Father Falcon gave them a busted balloon that doesn't work properly.
Father Falcon.
And they have to use Cyndaquil as their burner. So poor Cyndaquil has to brave the elements and the winds and nearly gets knocked down to his death. And Ash catches him and is like, aren't you lucky I was here to catch you, Cyndaquil?
What was that Spider-Man shit? that he was doing. Like, he, like, flew out of the balloon and, like, was, like, whirling around on the bar. Like, that, I was like, what is this superhuman physical thing that's happening?
Austin, I gotta ask, is there, like, a superhero comic or something where, like, the superhero causes the conflict so he can go save him to get famous?
I'm sure there is, but I'm not aware of what. Okay,
that just sounds like Ash. That
sounds like The Boys. Sounds like some Homelander shit to me.
Yeah, that could be it. That's what Ash does. He creates the problem and then seems like the savior of it.
We leave the storm. James has installed a giant missile launcher onto the hot air balloon that we've never seen before. And it launches about 50,000 separate missiles. Ash sends out Knockdown Pikachu to blast off Team Rocket, but they're kind of ineffectual. So Skylar's Fero is the one who disables the missile launcher, and then Pikachu is able to blast them off again. So now we've finally gotten back to the X-Men logo, and we both throw our oddish-themed beanbag thingies at the X-Men logo. And what do you know? It's a two-way tie between the Twerps and Skylar and Father Falcon. So now it's like, well, what do we do with the winning engine? And the Twerps say, we're going to take that engine. You don't deserve it. It's ours. We're going to lug this thing on our backs through the wilds of Johto. Just kidding. That would make no goddamn sense. They give Skylar and Father Falcon the balloon engine. And Skylar's like, are you sure? And Ash is like, we don't want this fucking thing. Take it. Skylar and Father Falcon get back the hot air balloon mega engine, which I still don't quite understand what it is, that they donated because they always intended on winning it in the first place. Because they are the secret sponsors of this event.
Mm-hmm. They're actually, the thing they throw to the target has a homing beacon on it, so it automatically hits the center.
It's a drone.
Why did these, like, competition host people not have, like, some kind of consolation or second prize? Like, I know they said, like, oh, we've never had a two-way tie before, ever. But I feel like they should be prepared for that in the event, like, case that it does. Like,
well, usually there's only one survivor.
Oh, that's right. That's It's always Skylar and Falcon, so.
By the way, the announcer makes a point of saying, luckily, there were no injuries during this race.
He
said there was no injuries. He didn't say there was no casualties.
Oh, okay. Nothing but casualties. Yeah. Every single person died.
They all immediately passed away. There was nobody who needs help because they're all passed away. Unfortunately, the engine that they won has a fault in it, and next time Daddy Falco and Skylar take the balloon up, it explodes instantly because of the gas leak that they never found at the initial production of the engine. So it turns out it was just the prototype the government was testing for their new balloon army, and that's it. And there were no injuries in that crash either. We're all good there.
Which did we like better, the book or this episode?
I'm really trying to remember the book. I just know there was, like, the guy named Jet.
They both got Fero in it. I remember. Look, there's a Fero in this
The book did have Fero in it. I think the bad guy used Fero.
In Meowth.
So in this, the good guy used Fero.
Well, is he a good guy because he schemes people?
Oh, that's a good point.
It's a girl, too. Her name's Wendy.
I remember she wanted a Dragonite or something.
Yeah, I think a Pokemon was the prize in this one. They didn't have any, like, jet engines. Pidgeot's in this. Yeah. Charizard's in it, so, meh.
Oh, yeah, Ash's Pidgeot is in it. I forgot about that.
Mm. I think the book's better. This one's weird with the target mechanic at the end. I don't understand that part of it. Can they just have, like, a race with the finish line? I don't get the whole target thing. Because, like, you could, theoretically, with this, you could just stay behind and go super slow and then just hit closer to the middle of the target and win.
Well, I think it's whoever hits the target first, right?
Yeah.
It's whoever hits it first? Okay. I didn't catch that.
What if you miss the target? I guess you just lose.
Yeah, that still goes back to my point, I guess. You could, if everyone misses, you can just take your time, you know. So let us know, listeners, followers, believers, which is better, the book or this episode. For the most viable player, least viable player, and the quote, the order shall be as follows. Alex, you're first, followed by me, and then Austin.
Okay, my LVP is going to be Jesse and James for absolutely torpedoing Meowth's big dream of playing fair and square and testing his true prowess as a balloonist. We will never know how Meowth could have really performed on his own merits because Jesse and James went behind his back after he asked him specifically not to interfere and sabotage the other participants. So shame on them for not being supportive and doing this on the up and up. My MVP, I'm going to say Meowth, I guess. he just wanted to, like, have fun in the competition, and he never got to do that. So I think he would have been really good at it if he had been allowed to do it the right way. And my quote. Oh, I guess this one from James, when they're, like, Meowth is telling them how he wants to do this fair and square. And James, like, grabs Meowth and is, like, feeling him on the face. And he's like, you must have a fever because you're obviously delirious.
Okay. I'm going to give my LVP to Timothy.
Damn it. Yeah. I thought I was going to get that.
No, I just felt bad for Timothy. He didn't deserve that. I mean, Timothy obviously is a better choice. Because Timothy, being what he is now with the Crobat, that's more maneuverable, aerodynamic. Like, there's, like, four wings on that, right?
I remember in the book, Brock did not get to be in the hot air balloon because he had to, like, operate the van on the ground or something.
You're right.
What if that happened in this episode, but at the end of the episode, here comes in Brock with, like, a Geodude hot air balloon, and Timothy is flying him, and he wins the
That'd competition. Be great. Like, where'd Brock go? I'm gonna do it myself. I remember he couldn't be in the balloon because Wendy didn't want the creepy guy in the balloon with her in the book.
Fair enough.
She puts him in the storm chaser thing. My MVP, I'm going to give it to the announcer for being able to gaslight everyone into thinking that there's not any deaths. It's like, there's no injuries. We're all good here.
Yeah, he tricked me.
Yeah, good job, announcer. You made it seem this horrific event was okay. Okay, now my quote comes from, yeah, it's a James and Jesse combo. It's a little bit out of taste, but Meowth is, like, really mad that they won't listen to him, and James goes, Meowth's got a temper. And then Jesse goes, I wonder if Meowth's got distemper. And I was like, oh my god, that was good. That's rough.
I'm probably going to scrape the bottom of the barrel for this one.
The bottom of the balloon.
My LVP will be Ash for being rude about Crobat.
He was very rude.
My MVP will be Cyndaquil for not dying, even though he nearly came close.
Congratulations, Cyndaquil.
And that's related to my quote, actually. When Skylar says, I'm real sorry. I didn't hurt anyone, did I? And Ash says, no, but it was really close.
Pretty good. Oh my gosh.
Okay. Well, that's the big balloon blow up.
I think that's really tasteless because some balloons, like, did blow up and, like, RIP those people.
At least they warn you ahead of time.
I guess.
It didn't go like the big peaceful balloon race, and then all of a sudden there's fires and massacres everywhere. That'd be a little more of a setup.
True.
But this next one's obviously a play on words of the Screen Actors Guild.
Is that the same thing as the Academy? Like, when you say the Academy, okay, that's a different thing.
No.
Fucking, I don't know.
The SCAG is the union, right? Is that the union awards? Okay.
Wait, are you saying SCAG or are you saying SAG?
SAG-AFTRA.
What is AFTRA?
They merge with SAG at some point.
What does that mean?
Can you tell we're not actors?
I was in theater in high school, but, like, as a stage person, not in the show. So I was never, like, a theater kid. I wasn't invited into that whole thing.
Oh, you were left out?
Yes, I was, actually, because people suck.
AFTRA stands for American Federation of Television and Radio Arts.
Okay. Ah. Ah, cool.
I wonder if Pokemon was union at this point.
The you voice think? Actors?
Probably not. Yeah.
Yeah, they were, I imagine. Are voice actors allowed to be in union?
I genuinely have no idea.
I don't think they were. I thought that's something recent with them, with voice actors and actresses trying to join the SAG or whatever it is. I thought they may have formed their own unit. Okay, I'm going to look this up now. This is bothering me. Voice.
I Googled, was 4Kids union? And I'm not getting any results.
There's NAVA, which is the National Association of Voice Actors.
Oh.
Okay.
The official SAG-AFTRA website says that voice performers are covered under several bargaining agreements. So, but I don't know how recent that is, though. I don't see a date by it.
If you know stuff about this stuff, let us know, because it's interesting, but we don't know what the hell we're talking about.
Yeah,
yeah. If you're, like, one of the 10 voice actors in America who do all the voices for everything ever, can you please let us know?
Yeah, basically.
Okay, I can confirm Fran Drescher is still the president of SAG-AFTRA. That was the most important thing.
She's the president?
Yeah.
Okay.
I don't know who that is.
Interesting.
But all right.
Fran? The nanny?
The nanny. What?
She's got that voice. She's got that iconic voice.
Oh, is that she from the show that's like a rich man who has her hired as a nanny?
Yes.
And they play the like nanny. The love cat and mouse thing with her on that show?
Yes.
Okay.
Which is a highly inappropriate relationship.
Yeah. She's pretty in that series, though.
Yeah, she is a beautiful woman.
Yeah.
That's true. Are we trying to avoid Smoochum? Is that what we're doing?
Yeah. I'm not. I'm waiting to be.
Oh, sorry. I'm ready to go. I'm ready. Sorry.
Okay. 3, 2, 1, go.
All right, so we're in a city.
Okay, so we're. Oh wait, Jacob.
Keep going.
We're in a city.
Why am I thinking I'm doing this?
There's a guy that passes by wearing a black trench coat who throws all the stuff on Brock, who's being chased by women. They're like all confused, and this guy runs away. It turns out he's a famous actor. He has a smoochum that his manager's worried about might affect his image, but in the end it turns out that it doesn't, and the women, who I guess favor him, love the fact that he has a smoochum. Stop. And they find him super cute.
I think you should give Jacob like 10 extra seconds because I fucked
him up. I got summarized.
Alex, you're the only one who cares about the integrity of the 30-second summary. Jacob and I think it's for fucking around, which it is.
It's the integrity of it. I guess it's a good opportunity to be creative.
Yep, Scat Damon.
I got really sidetracked. You guys were talking about SAG-AFTRA and I was like, okay, let's just get to this. I gotta do the 30-second summary and completely forgot that it wasn't even me, so.
Well, you could do the summary in 30 seconds if you want to. Go for it.
I think there's more stuff that happens here.
Okay.
And then we can talk about.
Can I ask a question real quick?
Oh, sorry, Jacob. That was...
I'm asking a question. Is this guy's name Brad Van Dorn?
Yes.
Okay.
Is this supposed to be, like, Dick Van Dyke? Like, what's going
on?
No,
it's Kevin Van Damme.
Jean-Claude Van Damme.
Yeah,
Kevin Van Damme. Yeah, oh, I just got that. Oh, okay.
I don't know anything about Jean-Claude Van Damme. Has anyone seen his movies? Because I have not.
I thought it was Kevin Van Damme.
Can we name a movie that he was in?
Kevin?
I thought his name was Kevin Van Damme.
What?
Am
I thinking of a wrestler?
No.
Is that his son?
No, God, that's a... this is a fisherman.
Fisherman.
What the... I'm sorry, what's happening here?
How do you know professional fishermen, Jacob? What? You hanging out in Bass Pro Shop? You don't know about it?
I got my bounties. Where'd that come from?
Okay, I need to know, like, while you're figuring out what's happening, I'm going to IMDb, because I can't even name one thing he's ever
done. I know one. I know a really good one that I really loved growing up. Bloodsport. Bloodsport was awesome.
Yeah, that's the famous one.
Yeah, I love Bloodsport.
Bloodsport?
Yep.
I've not seen a single one of his movies.
What the hell is Bloodsport?
Is that the one with the Kumite?
Yeah.
The what?
The Kumite.
Kumite.
I don't know what that means.
I learned about it from the Boondocks.
Okay, so it sounds like he was in a lot of, like, action movies in the 80s.
Right.
None of these sound familiar. Cyborg, Black Eagle, Kickboxer, Lionheart, Double Impact.
You don't know Double Impact?
No.
Double Impact is awesome.
Time Cop. Street Fighter, the
Time
movie?
Time Cop?
No, not Time Cop. Not Time Cop.
No, he's not Time Cop.
The Quest.
Oh, I was thinking of RoboCop. He's not RoboCop, but he is Time Cop.
Okay. Do you guys want to know a very interesting Jean-Claude Van Damme fact?
Sure. Okay, yes.
Okay, so he is the original Predator, the one that Arnold fights in the woods.
Like, he's in the costume.
Yes. There is an actual picture of him.
Uncredited?
No, what happened is Jean-Claude Van Damme got so mad about that movie that they eventually just fired him.
Is that... What is that?
That's him as Predator.
Surely they just got someone else to put into the suit, right?
Why does that look different than Predator? Like, that doesn't look like Predator. It looks different.
Because they got fired, and they couldn't use the picture or the likeness of it anymore.
Huh. So they had to change the whole design?
Yeah.
Okay, well, that was your Jean-Claude Van Damme fact of the day.
Yep.
I'm going to do some more research on this later. I'm not a big Predator guy.
Oh, I love Predator. Predator's so good.
Have you seen Prey?
Prey?
Yeah.
Is that the one that they're Native Americans?
Yes.
Okay, yeah, that one's good. I like that one. Predator lore is very interesting, but so is Pokemon lore, so we can go ahead and dive back into that.
Very much.
All right, so we are in some city. I don't know if we ever get a name of where we're at, but there's a horde of adoring female fans that are stampeding wildly through the streets, and Brock, like a frenzied dog chasing a mail truck, starts chasing after them, but they're suddenly stopped by a completely normal, not suspicious as fuck guy who's in a trench coat, glasses, and a hat, and he's like, here, kids, hold on to this package for me. And he, like, shoves it in Ash's hands and runs off. And they're like, what the hell? Like, this could be anything, right? Could be anything. Could be, like, a dead body parts. It could be...
from the hot air balloon race.
Yeah, it could be from the wreckage of the hot air balloon race. It could be, like, money. It could be drugs. Like, we don't know what's in this bag.
Thank you,
turns
cards.
Turns out it's nothing so... Yeah, thank you, cards.
Going lighter note there.
It could be anything. We really don't know. Turns out it's nothing so exciting as a thank you card. It is a smoochum. And
I prefer a thank you card.
Yeah, right? So, unfortunately, though, it's the smoochum episode, which I feel like we already got this, but I think I'm just thinking of the, like, Pichu brothers and stuff, because we haven't seen it in, like, the actual main series show, right? Like correct. An episode. Okay.
What's its shtick? Is it just kissing everybody? Is that what it does?
It's the kiss Pokemon.
Oh, so it's for lonely people?
Lonely hearts.
Whoa.
I'm kidding.
Yeah.
Just go make out with your smoochum.
Yeah, it's really weird implications and all that. Well,
Fleshlight, the Fleshlight Pokemon.
Stop! Oh my god.
I had to think about what the name was.
Use for mouth only. Okay.
I think end of episode, no further comment. This is really weird. The explanation we get, and I didn't think I knew this about smoochum before, because honestly, I really try not to think about smoochum at all much, but it has a problem with its eyes and mouth and ears and stuff already, I guess, because it can't process anything else except for by kissing it. Because Brock explains, like, this is how it, like, processes the world around it. It kisses stuff as, like, a sensory tool because it can't be normal and just, like, look with its special eyes or anything.
God, what a horrible way of seeing the world.
Could you imagine if, like, that's how you had to, like, interact with stuff, is you had to, like, put your mouth all over something?
Sounds like a sci-fi movie.
Gross. But, yeah, so Mystery Guy apparently has dropped his hat, and so Brock is like, ooh, let me just pick up this random sweaty hat and, like, put it on my own head.
It's encoded in lice and mites.
And much like the Growlithe that we met previously that Officer Jenny had that can't tell faces apart, the girls come screaming back and they're like, oh my god, it's you, Brad, or famous movie star that we'll come to find out, because he's wearing this hat. And he lifts his head and they're like very disappointed because they're like, oh, you're not a super hot mega movie star. You're just some guy. So that ends. In the chaos, though, we get separated from Togepi, Smoochum, and Pikachu, because Pikachu runs after them, because they get distracted by a robo Skiploom that's just flying by for some reason. And we all know where this is going, right?
No, I have no idea. Oh, where could it possibly be going?
I'll enlighten you then.
Oh, good.
So
that was great.
It's great. Nothing so exciting. It's just Team Rocket with their Mecha Skiploom.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I thought this was gonna be the start of some interesting plot, but it's not. But yeah, so while they are distracted after the crowd leaves, they happen to see the twerps. Rather, they see a advertisement on the movie screen above them, and they recognize the guy who had given them the contraband earlier is Brad, a mega movie star, who is in an action movie, I guess.
Ultra Maximum.
Which
sounds like
that.
A reference to something. Is that like
that
a reference
like an
to
Adult Swim show?
Ultra Maximum.
It does.
It sounds like a superhero's capability. Like, I'm going Ultra Maximum.
What was his tagline? He gave us like a zinger at the end of that commercial.
I didn't pay attention, really.
It was like, I'll take you to the Ultra Maximum, or something ridiculous. Yeah.
Plus Ultra.
Oh, yeah. That's not... Yeah, I was thinking My Hero Academia the whole time. I'm like, this is All Might.
I'll watch it. I'll watch it eventually, I swear to God.
You gotta go Plus Ultra, Austin.
Plus Ultra sounds like a kind of gas for your car.
Don't ruin it for all of us. Just let it be cool.
So Ash comments that he doesn't look all that great. He's just some rando guy. Turns out the Mecha Skiploom is just a Team Rocket plot to get Pikachu and Togepi and this Smoochum, because Jesse really loves Smoochum. This doesn't really last very long because this episode is really not about Team Rocket, but they have to appear. So fucking somehow, and I have no idea how the twerps even like find Pikachu, Togepi, and Smoochum, because they didn't see them leave. They have no clues as to where they could go. They end up going through, like, a hole in the wall. Like, I don't have a clue how they ended up getting inside of this building and confronting Team Rocket. Like, does anybody have, like, anything they can say to enlighten me on this? Because
they read the script?
I guess. They're like, we're just here.
Something drew them into the hole.
Like, how did they get inside? Like, how did they even know?
The twerps, the humans, know where they were.
Oh,
Yeah, so the Pokemon get lured in through a small hole in the wall. Ash, Brock, and Misty do not see where they go to. They could have no knowledge of where they went to, but somehow Team Rocket turns around and there's Ash, Misty, and Brock just standing there.
I know what they did.
Telepathied?
They went to the Ultra Maximum.
Oh, okay. It's the only obvious explanation. I can't believe I didn't think of it.
I can't find my Pokemon. It's time to go Ultra Maximum.
Can that be a new running gag? Okay.
I wish Ash said that every time he's about to lose, it's time to go Ultra Maximum.
He stopped doing the hat turning around thing, which makes me really sad.
Yeah, he's not going to do that again for a long time.
Oh, so he does do it again, though.
All in right. Journeys, I think.
Oh, God. Okay. Ultra minimum.
That's what I was thinking for the episode title.
Maybe, you know what? Maybe it's simpler than this. Maybe Ash just put like an air tag on Pikachu or something. Just found him that way.
Oh, it's on his chip.
He uses aura, duh.
Oh, right.
It's in one of his forgot stripes, one of his 1,307 stripes that lines its butthole. Where the chip is.
What a throwback. I forgot about that. How did you know that? How did you even think of that?
I was like, wait,
is from the Mad Libs episode, right?
Yeah, it's like, where would you put the chip? In wow. One of its stripes on its butthole.
Yeah,
we're gonna do more of those at some point.
I love the Mad Libs. Can we just do a whole episode of Mad Libs? I laugh so hard. I'm a child.
Now you guys want to do Mad Libs. I had to fight for Mad Libs, and now you guys are like, oh, I love it. We should do it more often.
Well, I like it.
No, Jacob was always pro Mad Libs.
Yeah, I was always your side.
Let's do it sparingly. I don't want to overdo it.
I can overdo it. I don't care.
There are only so many Mad Libs to go through.
Wow, I haven't thought about that since we did that episode. Good callback, Jacob.
So I'm here for.
Oh, God. It's way funnier. Well, at least I thought it was funny. Go listen to that episode, listeners, and tell us what you think about it, because...
That episode has some of our lowest downloads of all time.
Oh, so they've already told us what they think about it. Okay. I am not personally offended at all. Okay. We have somehow magically found Pikachu, Togepi, and Smoochum, because we just don't have the runtime to figure out how they got there. So just go with it. Smoochum is kissing all over them. It's disgusting. Okay. Brad is now back looking for his Smoochum, and he's like, what the heck? I told those kids to wait here indefinitely. How dare they? How very dare they leave?
I know. What a fucking prick.
I know.
He threw them a random bag with a living creature inside of it, and it's like, stay here, and ran away.
Like, how would they know how long they're supposed to stay here? 5 minutes? 5 hours? Like, what?
I would assume they went to the fucking police.
You know what? Right? Another good thing is, too, thank God they opened the box, because there's no air holes in it or anything. The Smoochum would have just suffocated if they didn't bother to open it.
Yeah, what's in the box? It could have been Gwyneth Paltrow's decapitated head. I don't know.
Whoa, that's very specific.
It could have been a turd.
What's in the box?
God. Yeah, so he's like, this is a horrible tragedy. I can't believe they have stolen my Pokemon. But before we can really do much about this, his chauffeur / agent / bodyguard guy pulls up in a limousine, and he's like, get the fuck in here, because your rabid fans are looking for you, and we gotta get out of here. So they just miss Brad, and does this guy have a name? I just wrote him as Q-Ball in my notes, because he's bald.
I did not get his name either.
Okay.
Okay, yeah. Can we just say Brad Pitt? That's where the name Brad comes from.
Okay.
Are you talking about, okay, you know what my very first initial thought is, because he has red hair? I was like, oh my God, it's Lance. But then I was like,
I thought so too. I thought the same damn thing. It's Lance.
It's Lance.
It's Lance's hotter brother or something.
Hotter brother.
Yeah.
Brad, the cutest guy in school.
Brad Pitt. That's why I was referencing the movie Seven.
Was Brad Pitt, like, I never really thought of Brad Pitt as like an action star.
What?
Like,
no.
He's a big time action star.
No. Yeah, that's not the vibe I get.
Nah, Troy?
Eh.
That's an action
movie. Mr. and Mrs. Smith. That's what I would think of.
I always think of him in like Benjamin Button and like Interview with a Vampire. So
he's
his
been
like
in a,
heartthrob movies.
Brad Pitt movies. Fight League? Fight Club?
That wasn't really an action movie.
There's fighting in it.
That was more like a psychological thing.
Bullet Train?
Yeah, that's recent.
Yep.
Yeah, but that's recent. Not in his, like, younger years.
World War Z, Fury, Inglourious Bastards, action movies.
I don't know. I just, he's not synonymous with, like, action star to me.
Well, I think they were going for the hot guy.
Yeah.
Sure.
That is Brad Pitt.
He's just, like, the Edward Pattinson of his day. Like, he's, like, a total heartthrob guy. I don't know.
Both phenomenal actors,
anyway.
By the way.
Who's Edward Pattinson?
Twilight guy.
What did I say? Oh, Robert Pattinson.
Oh.
Edward.
Yeah. Robert.
Edward from Twilight.
Edward Pattinson.
Just combine them.
Who cares? Shows how much I really, like, follow this stuff, but whatever. Back on track here. I don't even know where I'm at. Oh, so his manager guy picks him up, and he's, like, back in his, like, dressing room area. He's, like, admonishing him because he's, like, you've got to let this Smoochum thing go. This is really horrible for your image. Like, you're supposed to be, like, a super sexy action hero. And you can't have a Smoochum as, like, your mascot or partner. You need, like, something cool and edgy, like a Charizard or a Houndoom. Brad is like, no, never. Smoochum was there for me when I was like a dishwasher and like before I even became famous. And there's no way that I'm going to like betray Smoochum's trust because we're like best pals. I guess everybody loves like a super sensitive guy, right?
Yeah.
Very sweet.
I have thoughts, but we'll keep going.
Okay. You want to save your thoughts then?
Yeah, for just a little bit.
All right. This manager guy, he keeps trying to keep Smoochum away from Brad. Like, he sees Ash, like, climbing up a tree to, like, try to return Smoochum to him because they're trying to, like, sneak into the building. And he, like, draws the curtains real quick. And this doesn't last very long. Like, Brad immediately picks up on the fact that Smoochum is, like, right there. And so they reunite very quickly and invites them in. Meanwhile, manager guy is, like, he finds Team Rocket, who separately somehow is back. And they have knocked out the security guards and, like, stuffed them into, like, a broom closet and stole their clothes. And so he just happens to come on them thinking they were actual security guards. And he's like, I need you to escort, quote unquote, escort these kids and Smoochum out of here, never to be seen again. And this works out just great for Team Rocket because they were already trying to look for a way to, like, you know, intercept the twerps and steal Pikachu and all that. So this works out, which is perfect.
All right. I'm going to interject with my Brad thoughts.
Yeah. Tell us about Brad thoughts.
Okay, so when Brad gets Smoochum, we suddenly see him become, like, a fawning Smoochum fan. He's like, hello, little smoochy, smoochy, boochy coons. Hello, smoochy, oochy, I love you. Here's smoochy, oochy. I made you some hot soup. Ooh, I'm gonna spoon feed you, Smoochum, smoochy, smoochy. And it was very odd. And I guess it's supposed to be, like, him fawning over, like, a dog or something, right? Is that what they were going for?
I don't know. All I can think of in this moment was, like, how eventually Smoochum is going to evolve into a Jinx, and then, like,
right.
That, I didn't like that.
He can just hold down B, though. It'd be all right.
Yeah.
Everstone that shit.
So, I went with multiple things with this Brad situation. My first thought was, oh, is it supposed to be Smoochum's, like, his secret girlfriend, and we're supposed to hide that? Because, you know what they do with celebrities, or at least sometimes they do.
Yeah.
They're like, oh, you can't be dating anyone in the public eye. You got to make it seem like you're available.
Is this like the K-pop, like,
yes.
stuff,
yes.
like, where they're not allowed to, like, show that they're in a relationship because they have to project the image of, like, just like you said. Like, they're single, they're available. Like, any girl can imagine her with him, like, yeah.
Right, so it's like Smoochum is, like, his girlfriend from before he was famous or whatever.
God.
And so the women, your clientele, can't know that.
That's still weird.
Then he started treating it like a little dog. And it was like, smoochy, oochie, hoochie. And then there's a strange moment. Brock says, he's a tough guy in public, but he's a cream puff in person. And then the gears on my head start turning, and I'm like, oh shit, Brad's fucking gay.
Okay, yeah,
he's a Rock Hudson type, is what I got led to believe on that one.
Yeah, is this like any, I kind of felt that vibe. It's like any, like, movie star or whatever from, like, I don't know, the 50s or the 60s or something. And it's like you have to kind of, like, keep your sexuality secret.
You got to remain the thirst trap.
So it was either hide the secret girlfriend or hide the fact that you're not going to have a girlfriend.
That may be right. I thought it was just like, you're a tough guy, you can't be seen as a softy.
I think literally that's what it is.
You're just going deeper, you're just adding layers to it.
Yeah, I'm analyzing the thematics at this point. What we expect from our celebrities as, like, you know, totem presence in our lives and, like, how they serve us.
Yeah.
Kind of.
Well, it's all about the marketing.
The weird parasocial relationship between the public and celebrities. Yeah. I don't know.
The poster on the wall.
Celebrity culture is fascinating to me. It's so fucking stupid.
From the manager's perspective, I mean, he's marketing a product. So, like, I mean, that's all it is in real life, too. It's like, how do you market to the fans of, like, selling them this fantasy? And it's like, if you can't sell them the fantasy that he can be your heartthrob boyfriend, then it's all going to just explode, like, go down the tubes.
You know what's really weird about the marketing, though, this movie? Is he's an action movie star, right? But it's, like, marketed towards women. Like, in America.
Yeah, where's the male audience?
Yeah, in America, it's like Predator, like Kevin Van Damme movies. They're for men to watch.
Kevin Van Damme.
Why do you keep saying that?
Oh, sorry. Jean-Claude Van Damme. Yeah, but that's weird that it's like an action movie star, but
right.
He's a thirst trap.
Realistically, men are the primary audience for that kind of
exactly,
stuff.
Exactly, that's what I'm saying, yeah.
And, like, the women are supposed to be kind of like the plus one demographic. Yeah. The tertiary. But the male audience is who they're seeking the dollars from.
Yeah, he should have been a music star. It made a lot more sense. He was like a like an NSYNC, you know, kind of guy, you know.
Well, they make an NSYNC reference.
Yeah, they do.
Yeah.
Which that might be a quote, so I'm not going to say it.
Or probably like a rom-com, like a Hugh Laurie type.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That is interesting. We didn't see a single male fan. Oh, boy. Yeah, it was interesting implications.
Sorry, did I say Hugh Laurie? I meant Hugh Grant.
Yeah, Hugh Grant.
Oh.
No offense to Hugh Laurie, but...
Hugh Laurie is yummy.
He's a house.
We'll just leave it there.
He's a brick house.
But yeah, so Team Rocket directs Ash and friends to a stage instead of leading them out of the building. And Ash is like, what the hell is this? Like, where are you taking us? They end up catching them in a net. But Meowth accidentally raises the... He pulls the cord to raise the curtain, which reveals all the shenanigans going on behind the scenes. And there's, like, a full house. There's, like, all these girls, like, a full audience of, like, people for... Apparently, there was a production that was supposed to happen. I don't know what that would have been. What
was he supposed to be doing? There was no other people. Was he just supposed to, like, stand there and be like, it is I, Brad,
I have no
Van
idea.
Darn.
I have no idea.
I think they, like... made a mess and he's supposed to like mop it up and the people are supposed to start cheering.
Yeah, SpongeBob. Well, there was like a whole stage. There was like a staircase and stuff.
He's supposed to clean that
really
too.
Weird.
Where were like the stunt guys that he's supposed to be fighting?
There was nobody. It was a dark stage. No stage hands were there. Like nobody was around like getting things ready. Like it was very weird. I don't know why there's an audience.
It looked
here.
Like the opening to the Family Guy episode. It looked exactly like that.
Oh, it did.
It was exactly that design. It was the exact same colors, background, and staircase.
Who took inspo from who, I wonder?
Well, Family Guy would have been out by now.
Ah, that's true. Oh my gosh, maybe so. So, Brad immediately catches on to the fact that Smoochum and the kids are missing. And so he's like, I bet you had something to do with this. So he immediately runs to the stage.
As one does.
As one does, because... Where else would the drama be going on?
He used his Ultra Maximum.
His Ultra Maximum activated.
To know where they were.
They get into a big kerfuffle, but Brad ultimately ends up rescuing Smoochum single-handedly with his super rad ballet moves, and Team Rocket blasts off again. And then Brad has a weird moment where he, like...
Comes out of the closet?
Yeah, basically, he, like, addresses all his screaming fans, and he's like... This is something that happens in real life, and Smoochum is my Pokemon in real life. And I'm like, why do you keep saying real life? Like, he just kept saying it over and over
again. He doesn't live in reality.
Like, he literally says that. He's like,
I am not a product. I am a human being.
With feelings. And so he's like, yes, this is real life. This is not a stage production. This is not an act.
You were all in danger.
Real danger. Then his manager, he's like, this is it. This is the... moment where it's all going to come crashing down. Nobody's going to understand this. They're going to storm out of here angrily. But of course, the opposite happens, and all his fans are like, they go absolutely bananas in pajamas. They're like, this is the most adorable thing we've ever seen. Not only is he like super sexy and wonderful, but he's also like a sweet guy with a soft spot for cute Pokemon. And now Smoochum is trending, and everybody has a Smoochum doll, and it's absolutely bonkerballs. So
everybody's making out.
Yeah,
it's great.
Everybody's making out. Yeah, and that's the end of that. Smoochum is a star. Oh, and then Smoochum starts joining him in his like action productions, because immediately, the very next hour, they've already made a full-length feature film with Smoochum as his co-star. So there's that.
It was AI generated.
Yeah,
and everybody starts copying Smoochum and starts smooching, and everybody gets mono. The end.
And that is the story of that.
Anybody ever used a Smoochum on their team?
Heck no.
What does this thing know, attack-wise? Like, kiss?
Lovely kiss.
Lovely kiss.
I don't know.
Lick.
Is it a psychic Pokemon?
Lick? No, I hope not. Psychic ice.
It's Jinx's pre-evolution, so I'm sure it knows at least, like, powder snow or something. I have no idea.
Yeah.
Are you looking up Smoochum moves?
I guess so. I mean, oh, it's a Santa Claus in training. I know that.
Uh-huh.
Let's see, Gen 2 move learn set. Oh, it does know lick. I just was kidding, but it does.
Ew, gross.
That makes sense.
Ew, it knows pound.
Lick, pound, sweet kiss, powder snow, confusion, sing, mean look, psychic, perish song, and blizzard.
That's not a bad move set.
But it evolves into Jinx, so.
Yeah, Jinx is the worst Pokemon. I like Smoochum when it's with the Pichu brothers on it, actually. I like that little crew.
Because it
They're
wasn't
fun.
The focus.
Yeah.
Yeah. The Pichu posse. I think they're a fun little group, but individually, I don't care.
Isn't Smoochum the first one to throw hands in that episode?
Oh, baby.
I think he was. Yeah, I think it was. All right. For this MVP, LVP, and quote section, Austin, you're taking the lead, followed by Alex, and then me.
My LVP is Brad Van Darn for giving his beloved smoochum to complete strangers and then being offended when they didn't stand there on a street corner all day waiting for him.
That's a Seinfeld episode, too.
Of course. Oh, yeah, I've seen that one.
Yeah. He gives that guy in a black coat gives him a bag, and George is supposed to stand there all day. That's funny.
My MVP, what was in the bag? Was it Gwyneth Paltrow's head?
No, it was clothes. It was just clothes. Oh, okay. It wasn't anything. Yeah, it's just clothes.
Am I missing, like, a joke?
Right? I don't know. Like, that's what I'm trying to figure out, too. Is this a movie?
It's a movie called Seven. And the end of the movie, Brad Pitt, who's dating Gwyneth Paltrow, is given, like, a box by, like, the villain. Or something like that. Or something. I can't remember exactly. But he famously screams for, like, several minutes, "What's in the box? What's in the box?" And the theory is it's Gwyneth Paltrow's head that's been cut off.
How does he
know?
Okay,
never mind.
Okay.
I know what you're talking about. It's when Morgan Freeman looks in it, and he's, like, trying to keep him from looking into it. Yeah, and he's screaming.
Yes.
Huh.
My MVP is Gwyneth Paltrow's head. No, my MVP is Wobba Fett. Because Wobba Fett briefly comes out on the stage, and at this point, all the fangirls are, like, in on it. And they're like, yeah, fight! And Wobba Fett blushes.
Aww.
And I thought that was cute. My quote will be, when I see the trailer for that Ultra Maximum movie, and Ash says, he doesn't act like a movie star in person. And Brock says, he doesn't act like a person in the movies.
Real talk.
I love that. Made me laugh. That was the best one.
That was a good one. Yeah.
My LVP is... Wait, Austin, what did you say again for LVP?
Brad.
Oh, I'm going to give it to Smoochum just because I don't care for Smoochum.
If you're a Smoochum defender, please write in and let us know why.
Yeah, I want to know, like, the psychology behind, like, why you like it. Like, is it, like, the color palette or, like, what? Because right now there's nothing about it that's appealing. Like, it has a big freaking mouth and then, like, hair... And, like, that's disturbing. And then, like, of course, Jinx, which, like, nobody here is a fan of. My MVP is Brock, I guess. It was kind of funny. Not for his, like, crazed, like, pheromone frenzy that he was in. But, like, at least he called out Brad for being like, well, what's the big deal? Because, like, I don't see it. And my quote is going to be from Manager, who we still don't know his name. When they're having the big... reveal of, like, Smoochum being Brad's Pokemon, he's, like, in the background saying, this is it, this is the end of my career, and he says, why didn't I do something easy like manage a boy band?
Uh-huh.
To your point earlier, Austin, that was the NSYNC reference.
Cool. All right, I'm actually gonna give my LVP to the manager for not letting his client enjoy his life,
whatever that may be,
whatever that life that is he chooses to live. Gosh, I don't know who my MVP is going to be. Who'd you give it to, Austin?
MVP? I gave it to Wobba
Fett. Okay, that's what I was going to go for. I can't do that now. So I'll give...
Oh, sorry. That's such an obscure pick. I can't believe we both did that.
Yeah. I'll give my MVP to... Does Meowth come around at the end where he's, like, happy for Brad and Smoochum? Doesn't that happen?
Does he?
I don't remember that.
Okay. I won't give it to him then. I'll give it to the cinematographers for Brad's movies, because those were awesome that were up on the screen.
It did look pretty appealing, I'll be honest. Yeah,
especially the end, that whole waterfall climb scene.
Yeah, that was a cool set piece. Yeah. Yeah.
And Smoochum Brad falls, and Smoochum grabs him and pulls him up somehow. That was cool.
She should have grabbed him with her lips.
Oh, God.
Like, she has her feet hanging around the thing.
Yeah.
Call her Thunder Lips. Like,
yeah, why are we not writing Ultra Maximum movies?
I know. Ultra Maximum 4. Dirty Smoochin'.
Past Maximum.
Ultra Maximum. Past Maximum.
Maximum Velocity.
And my quote, I don't know where I got this from, but James just says, I'm doing the hoeing.
Yeah, he did say okay, that.
Okay, there you go.
He and Meowth were pulling up, like, the curtains or something, and they were saying, heave-ho. Okay. And then James says, I'm doing the hoeing, but you're going to be doing the heaving.
Ha, ha, ha.
I don't know why I remember that.
Because it's great. That's it, then. That's it for this. And for this episode. Does anybody have any more thoughts?
No.
All right, then. Cool deal. What is up next week, Austin?
Well, you know how we're on Generation 2?
We are.
Well, get ready for an episode about a Generation 1 Pokemon in Right On, Right On.
That's such a rando pick.
Yeah, and then get ready for a surprise. The Kecleon Caper.
Oh, wow.
Kecleon? Okay. I smell a third generation Pokemon.
Third generation Pokemon!
Oh my goodness.
Hoenn is right around the corner. James is Hoenn, and so are we.
Guys, Hoenn forever. Gen 3, I know we've talked about this, but that's always going to be like my favorite for some reason. I don't know why. I started with Kanto, but it's a fave.
Well, Ash only has 4 gym badges, so we still got a ways to go,
oh,
sadly.
Dang. You got me all excited for, like, nothing.
Sorry. All right, that's what's next. Rhydon and Kecleon.
Oh my god, we're on 4 gym badges?
Wait, okay, now I do have a thought. Like, why are they introducing Kecleon so early?
There's a reason.
Is there, like, some sort of promotional thing happening, like, off-screen?
Yes, there is.
Oh, okay. Are we going to talk about it then?
Yes, we are.
Okay, I'll leave it to you then.
Okay, then.
So join us then.
All right. Woohoo. I'm a big cream puff, like Brad. That was an offensive term. They should not have used that, but I see what they were going for. I got you 4 kids.
You don't like
this
cream puffs?
This is just making me hungry, because I'm, like, literally thinking about food.
I love cream puffs. Oh, my God, I could use a cream puff. Yeah, let's get some cream puffs.
Thank you all for listening. Be sure to leave us a 5-star rating. If you have any questions or comments, please send it to outofthedrawingpan@gmail.com. Again, that is outofthedrawingpan@gmail.com. We also have an X account, formerly known as Twitter. You can follow us on there. It's outofdrawingpan. Again, the handle is outofdrawingpan. We have an Instagram. Alex posts some cool stuff there. That is outofthedrawingpan. Again, that is outofthedrawingpan. If you feel so inclined to support us, we have a Patreon, and you can look that up in the link to the description of the podcast. And once again, thank you all for joining us, and join us next time as this journey continues.